As you lay out those terms, those components of an important solution for us, equality, liberty, democracy, community, I think that perhaps based just on those terms, we'd have a significant percentage of the Tea Party supporters who would jump right on board. Likewise, I think you could very easily be pulling in the Occupy crowd. One of the things that did stun me in the book was how many of the proposals and the laws, the structures, were supported very strongly from both ends of the ideological spectrum. It wasn't, this is liberal radical, so therefore the other end is not going to support it. You were finding a new way that most people could support. So my question is, are these goals, or is this morality that could speak across the spectrum?
Oh, it's a complicated question. My experience is at the grassroots level, or in local, I'm from Racine, Wisconsin, an industrial town, a challenged industrial town in southern Wisconsin. I go back home and see my high school friends and talk to them, some of them very conservative people, and I'm on the progressive side. And, you know, if you get down to what can we do here in Racine, or what we're doing in Cleveland, we're doing some big projects in Cleveland, and folks are involved with it, or any other city, really, you start talking about practical things. Will it really work? Will it help the community? Will it help? And then a lot of this ideological banter and rhetoric that you see in the television and radio in Washington, politicians screaming at each other, really, disappears. So I think there's a lot more common ground at the local level than is apparent from watching television or reading some of the newspapers. That said, I do think there are differences. The argument of America Beyond Capitalism is that I wrote a book on this with Lou Daly also. A lot of what we call ownership society really is the fruit of generation after generation over the past of government investment. Let me give you an example. Bill Gates and Steve Jobs would have gone nowhere at all without big investments by the taxpayer in the internet and in the computer and in the computer technologies that they built upon. So a lot of the wealth at the very top, and I've traced this, many people have traced this, but we trace it in this other book, really comes both from public taxpayer investment and also from generations of social development, including all the way back to the creation of arithmetic and calculus and mathematics and all the inventions that got us to where we are. That's a social creation that the society created partly by taxpayer spending, partly by the development of knowledge that really is an inheritance of all of us. So what that leads to is the conclusion that a good part of the wealth of society really ought to benefit the society more generally, and that means some form of quasi-public or public ownership, as I say, starting with grassroots things like worker ownership or neighborhood ownership. But when you get to city and state, and in some cases probably public ownership, I think when the big next financial crisis comes, we're going to see one or two of those banks are going to have to be taken over. Probably there's an ideological difference about that that we're going to have to sort out and talk through. If we want to make the system work, we can't have these bankers running around doing speculative casino gambling with our money. And if you try to regulate them, really they're too powerful to regulate. Their lobbyists are up here all the time finding wrinkles in the regulation to let them do what they want. So I think what's going to happen over time is some of these big banks that we've been bailing out are going to become public banks. But that would be a point of difference, I'm sure, with some of the modern conservatives. Although, interestingly enough, and you know, I urge my conservative friends to go back and read the founding fathers of the most important economics of the country, the conservative economics of the Chicago School, where Milton Friedman was trained. They came to the conclusion, I'm thinking of the founders, H.C. Simon being the most prominent economist of the 20th century there, they came to the conclusion that if you wanted a free enterprise economy, you could regulate some of these giants, and particularly in banking, you would have to have public banking. Otherwise, they would disrupt even a free market economy. So there's a lot of larger issues that get ideological, but I think we're going to have to sort them through in practical terms and figure out, you know, what works to support democracy, liberty, equality. Certainly the big banks, the five big banks, and some of the major corporations, that's not a democratic system, whatever that is. It's certainly not a democracy.
There's a phrase.